everyone. I'm nervous now after that introduction. Hi, my name is Rachel. They made me sound really good, so I feel really good about that. Just a little bit about me. I have my husband and my daughter are in Trinidad. Due to some issues, they're not able to enter the country at this time, which is what Apostle Belinda is speaking about. But I told God yes. And so I'm here today. My friend, Miss Belinda, because she was an apostle in class, you know, she said she took off that hat, so we called her Miss Belinda. She invited me to come, and I'm like, hey, I've never seen snow. Let's come up to Michigan. Of course, I was sorely disappointed. But then Apostle Ron was like, will she preach? And I laughed because I thought it was a joke. And she's like, no, he's serious. Would you preach? And I was like, give me a little while. I think I took 2 weeks to answer them. But I really sense God had a word for this house, not only corporately, but individually as well. Even as we transition to 2020 and we begin to move into the age of the pay or of the mouth, where we now begin to speak forth things. So the last decade we were being seen and the church was being seen, but now God is shifting things where the church is becoming a voice to our nation, a voice to our community, a voice to our family. And with that, with this specific house in my prayer, God told me that there's a leadership mantle that's upon this house naturally. And it would be obvious because your leader has been a leader in the secular arena for many years. But one of the things God is saying is not only would the leadership mantle transition into 2020 with you guys, but there's a kingship mantle that is transitioning as well into 2020. And so the word that I'm bringing today, it's a kingdom principle I'm going to teach you guys, because you are kings. There's no if, but, or maybe. I'm not going to teach you how do you become a king in the kingdom of God. I'm not going to teach you, you know, what you need to do to be a king. You are kings and priests unto God. That's the word of God. But what I want to talk to you guys about today is how do you sustain yourself as a king in God's kingdom. When Saul became king, he could have sustained himself and his legacy for generations. But because he didn't follow some simple practices, he was not able to retain his kingship. And so when he thinks for this house, even as God begins to transition you guys, and for yourselves individually, as you begin to occupy your spheres of influence, I just want to go through it with you guys. If you would allow me, would you allow me to talk to you guys today as it relates to what it means to sustain yourself as a king in the kingdom of God? All right, so the scripture verses I'm using, for those of you who like to follow with your Bibles, would be in Genesis 2, as well as we'll be in Deuteronomy 17 today. But I just want to give just a little background, or just give a brief detailing of the kingdom of God and how we are positioned in this place. You know, the kingdom of God is a nice buzzword in the church today. We say we're not religious anymore, we're kingdom people. And I found a lot of times in talking to people that sometimes they don't understand what it really means to be in the kingdom. In Matthew 4:17, Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near, or is at hand. And these were the first words that he preached while he was here on the earth. Jesus never preached a message about religion. He never did that. His message was very clear. Each and every one of us has an individual message. My message is kingdom. My husband's message is health. He has a passion for it. He goes into it. He talks to me all the time about it. But that's his message. That's what God put him here on the earth to speak about. And it was the same for Jesus. The reason why Jesus didn't speak religion is because religion is man's attempt to reach God. It's based on a fallen system after Adam's sin that we now came up with systems to be able to reach God. And one of the things I like is in Jesus restoring the kingdom, not only are we subject to God, because that's what religion did, it subject us to God, but it brought us into relationship with him. And that's what kingdom is. If it is in your walk with Christ, you feel subject or a slave, it means you're walking in the realm of religion. But if it is that you are in a place of relationship where you're hearing his voice and you're walking in accordance with his words, you are in the realm of kingdom. I want to thank Sarah, oh my God, with your worship this morning. It was so prophetic. I had to go and fix my makeup. I'm like, this is not the worship I was expecting. I didn't expect to shift makeup as it relates to it. But it's exactly as it says. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. There's a place for you in the kingdom of God. And that is what is so exciting about our message. Our message is not for people to come to church. Our message is, in our Father's house, despite who our Father was before, there's a place for you in God's kingdom to operate and to be able to bless his people. Isn't that exciting? It's so great. So what is the kingdom? Oxford Dictionary tells us that the kingdom is a country, or a kingdom is a country, territory, or state that is ruled by a king or queen. That's a kingdom. It's a territory ruled by a king. Every kingdom, including the kingdom that we belong to, has several characteristics to it. First characteristic, it has a king. Who is the king in our kingdom?
Jesus.
Amen. Like, you wouldn't believe that. Who is the king in our kingdom? Okay, still not convinced some of you. Who's the king in our kingdom?
Jesus.
Amen. Now I'm feeling it. All right, I'm from the Caribbean, so we are accustomed to a little soul. And so you could talk to me. I'm accustomed. The next thing is, every kingdom has a domain. What is our domain? Earth. Thank you, ma'am. What's your name? Kathy. Thank you, Miss Kathy. Earth is our domain. It's not the heavens. We may be seated in heavenly places, but our natural bodies tie us to this domain. So earth is our domain in the kingdom of God. All kingdoms have a constitution. What is our constitution? The Bible. Thank you, Apostle Ron. I think I should give you a suite for that. In the kingdom, there are citizens. Who are the citizens? We are. What's your name, ma'am? No, well, when I know you win. Sorry, my Trinidadian voice came out there. What's your name, ma'am? Who pointed us up? Alice? Miss Alice? Yes. So Miss Alice pointed us up. We are the citizens of the kingdom. You see, when you have ownership, when you know you belong, there's a different mentality that we step out into new each day with. Because as a citizen of America, which most Americans are proud to be, when you step into another nation, you are proud to represent your nation. You are proud to be seen as an American citizen. If anybody even tries to come against your authority, you let them know, I am a U.S. citizen. And it's the same thing with the kingdom of God. As citizens, we are to be proud that when we step out, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. And there are rules and regulations that my kingdom has that I represent here upon the earth. So it's, for me, this excites me. As I said, this is my message, but it excites me to know that it's not just about me coming to church on a Sunday morning, which I do faithfully. I do that faithfully, because some people want to cancel that. I do that faithfully, but it's about me representing something that is so much higher than who I am and myself. And to think that who I was, God will qualify me to be that individual to do that. Amen? In kingdoms, we have judicial systems. So in the kingdom of heaven, we have a court system. If you have an issue, if the enemy has robbed from you, if something has taken place, you have a right as a citizen of the kingdom to go into the courts of heaven and to make your case known. And if it is, it's taking a while, I go back and I say, God, refer to the court reporter of the claim that I have made, because I'm not seeing it manifesting in my life. And since you are a good king, because the unrighteous judge was able to grant the request of the woman, so too, you as a good judge should be able to grant my request. That's what we have in the kingdom. And I like to tell people this because, you know, situations come and things happen, and sometimes we could take a very defeated stance, but we stand in a higher order. Our kingdom supersedes the kingdom of this world. It's a higher order. And when we begin to operate in that place, we will be able to get the kingdom benefits. It won't just be stories in a Bible. Oh, this only happened to David. Oh, this only happened to Joseph. Oh, this only happened to Paul. No, it can happen to you, because we have the fullness of the blessings of Abraham just like they did. And that's our portion here. So we have a security detail and a security system in the kingdom. Who are our security detail? Angels. Thank you, Mama. Everybody's my mama. She's pretty, ain't she? We have communities, and we have different churches and different communities in our kingdom. We have sectors. There's a financial sector in our kingdom. Do you know that? Do you know in our financial sector, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly? Do you know that in our financial sector, that is a law of sowing and reaping? When pastors come on stage, it's not that they're trying to take your money. It's them trying to get you to access the financial sector of the kingdom of heaven. And that's the exciting thing about it. We have a culture also in the kingdom. So you guys know I'm not American because my accent isn't American. Just as I know you are American because your accent is American. I know these folks are black people because they're black. I know this lady in front here is a white person because she's white. So there's a culture that comes. There's a look that you have. There's an accent that you have. There's a way that you dress in the kingdom. There's a way that you dress. I know that's not a popular topic, but there's a way that you dress that represents that this is God. Sometimes, you know, some of my folks who are my age, I said, yeah, okay, you are free to dress like that, but do you represent Christ right now? That's a question that we have to ask ourselves. When I put on something, am I representing Christ right now? And so I just wanted to give you guys that background to understand that it's not just about church and the rules of church. The rules of church are supposed to point us as it relates to the kingdom realm. If we only focus on the rules of church, you're going to lose it. We're going to be like the Pharisees. We're just caught up in the traditions of men, and we're not operating at a kingdom level. And so I just wanted to give you guys that background so that you understand that this is the kingdom of heaven that we're a part of. I'm going to skip down some of these things. So now that we have been given back our authorities as kings, so understand that when Jesus came and he died, what he did is that he gave us back authority. Adam was the first king here upon the earth that walked this earth. And so when Adam sinned, he gave his authority to the enemy. And the enemy had the authority. When it is Jesus came on earth and he was tempting them, he said, hey, bow down before me and worship me, which I just found was just so disrespectful. I find Satan so disrespectful sometimes. But bow down and worship me, and I will give you these kingdoms of the earth. Because he had the authority at that time to be able to do it. And so Jesus' death and resurrection gave us back that authority. So I wanted to, So I wanted to talk about just some of the roles and the responsibilities that comes as it relates to being a king in the kingdom of God. This is where we return to Genesis 2. If you are there, say amen. Amen. All right. And in 2 verse 8, he says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he formed. We move down to verse 15, and it says, then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And so from this, we could see 4 responsibilities that we have as kings based on the original mandate of kingship. The first responsibility is know your territory and its boundaries. A lot of time we try to rule other people's territories, and it's not ours to rule. So we go into the office, and we personally find they are not doing things a particular way. So we get upset as it relates to that. But sometimes it's not your territory to rule. Sometimes you go into churches. I know I've sinned as it relates to this in my past years, where we believe the pastor should do this or the pastor should go in this direction. It's not your territory to rule. And even if it is, I remember once, this person, they were being very mean. I would say mean at that time. And so I went to God and I was like, God, this is what I see. And I told God everything I saw. And the Holy Spirit said, okay, are you finished? And I said, yes, there are some other things I can mention, but you know them already. And he said, good. Now that you understand that, you will pray. And that was it. God put me in that situation to pray. I wasn't given the authority to speak to the person. The person's behavior didn't really improve immediately. But over time, I saw my prayers beginning to shift something. And so it's very important as a king that we understand this is my territory and this is its boundaries. So therefore, in Trinidad and where I live now, you see my home, the enemy can't cross those borders because that's my home. That's my territory. You see my mom and my husband and my daughter, those are my folks. You don't get to come in with sickness and illness and other things that this world system is subject to. Is it the business in Trinidad? You don't get to come in and rob me of money just because the country in a recession. You don't get that access to me because that's my territory and that's me exercising my kingship. So I want to encourage everyone, know your territory, know its boundaries, and then from there, work your territory. God told Adam, the first thing that God said to Adam wasn't worship, it was work. I'm a big person as it relates to that. You need to work. Work your territory. God expects production. He's a God of production. The men with the talents, one had five, one had three, and one had one, or was it two and one? Can't remember right now. But everybody had different ones based on their capacity. Just because somebody has five talents did not mean that the one with one could have gotten away with doing nothing. No matter how small your territory is, even if it is, it's just you and your family, and that's your only territory, God expects production in that. And when the day comes and it is required, he wants an account. That's the God that we serve. And it's important that we understand that with kingdom. So not only should you know your territory, work your territory, the third thing is you need to protect your territory. Now, my mom, you see how she's sweet and nice right there? My mom is a mama bear. So when somebody comes on her territory, which is me, you see the mama bear come out. And I'll be like, Mom, no, I'm 36. You don't need to defend me, mama. Or if I'm crossing the road, she naturally holds my hand at 36 years old to cross the road. Or if there's a bug in my nose in front of everybody, she begins to pick it out. She knows her territory. She knows that this is hers to protect. This is hers to protect. And she has full rights to protect it. You have to understand your territory and know you have full rights to protect it. You go into a house that's demon-possessed, that's your house, they are not supposed to stay there. They need to leave in the name of Jesus. You have generational curses that's coming through your line. That does not affect your family because you now belong to a kingdom that supersedes that kingdom. And so you have the ability to speak to it and see it removed in the name of Jesus. You see, we have to understand the authority that's in us. The enemy trips us up to think, well, you know, he's big and bad. And, you know, we don't want to cross him too much or do too much. No, he does not have the authority. He does not have the authority. In our country, well, we call them vagrants. What do you guys call them here? Homeless people? Bums? Okay, bums. Wow. That's really flattering. But a lot of them are demon possessed. And so they do crazy things. And every time, it always amazes my husband. When I walk by, they come into the fullness of their mind and they bow. when I pass by. Because they understand authority. You're not coming to act crazy, to throw feces at me. No, I'm a child of a king. You don't get to do that with me. And it's the same thing with you guys. I just really sense right now, and I'm just going to pray over you guys, that every area that the enemy has encroached in your territories, right now I come in one accord with your faith, and I declare in the name of Jesus that he will no longer encroach, that he has not taken the boundaries, but that the boundaries will be restored to you and your generations now in the name of Jesus. I'm seeing even where the enemy has robbed as it relates to finances. God, I come to the courts of heaven and I declare in the name of Jesus that he must restore seven times, that we have seen the thief, that we have brought him before you, God, and there's a restoration that's taking place in this house now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Last but not least, so we know that we need to know our territory. Next, we need to do what? Ah, nice. People are listening. Third, we need to protect our territory. And fourth, we need to know the instructions from God for your territory. That's very, very, very important. Now, one man's instruction may not be another man's instruction. I have friends, they are Bible-believing, love the Lord, but they drink wine. They drink alcohol. And they have no conviction against it. And I have no issues with them for it. However, my instructions from the Lord is, Rachel, this is not something that you could engage in. I have friends who would do Halloween. That's not an instruction for my house. As for me and our house, this is what we need to do. And sometimes there are some strict guidelines that God has given me and my husband because of the call that's upon our lives in order for us to be able to get into the realm that he wants us to occupy. You need to know your instructions. And not only know it, but you need to communicate those instructions as well. In our business, my mom was a very successful bank manager. I tell people she was one of the top in the country. And I'm not saying that because she's my mom. She won awards for being the top bank manager in her country. It was an amazing thing. She had the smallest branch in the biggest bank in our country. And she won awards as it relates to it. And it was amazing to see how she just allowed God to come into this very, very small branch and to do amazing things for the glory of God. And she gave him glory. Everyone knew that he got the glory for what she was able to accomplish. So she's been working with me now full time for how many years? Only three? Too many years? She said too many years. She's working for me now. 3 years, I think. Yeah, 3 years she's come across. So I'm very lucky. I'm like, God, thank you, because you know I can't afford a top manager like this. But she's come across as it relates to the business. And one of the things that always amazes her is that the team knows the instructions of the business sometimes better than us. So a secular song would start that may be very suggestive. I don't know it because I generally don't listen to much secular music. And the team will go to the DJ. No, no, no. We don't play that music here. Or if somebody comes in with something, the team will tell them, no, no, no. Auntie Rachel is a Christian. We don't do that here. So that because over the years, I've communicated the instructions of God, even though some of them are not saved, most of them, I think, are not saved, they understand the instructions for my territory, and they respect it. That's one of the things I want you guys to understand. When you communicate your instructions, people respect it. And that's something that I'm seeing in this nation where we're afraid to speak forth our instructions from God because we feel that people will come against us. It doesn't matter if they come against you. At the end of the day, they will respect your stance. And as the body of Christ and as the church of God, we are the ones to be able to communicate the instructions of God so that we receive the respect that is necessary for God to fully inhabit this land. Amen? Amen. Amen. So just to go over that again, what's the first responsibility we have as a king? Know your territory. Second, work your territory. Third, protect your territory. And the fourth would be know the instructions. What's your name, ma'am? Jean, thank you, Miss Jean. Know your instructions and communicate those instructions as well to those that are around you. Amen? Can I continue? Are we good? Yes. Okay, nice. So we are now going into Deuteronomy 17 because now we understand that we are kings. We understand our responsibility as kings. And so now I want to talk to you guys about how do you sustain your kingship in the territory that God has given to you. Deuteronomy 17, it's where Moses was given the laws and the precepts and the instructions to the people of God before they crossed over into the promised land. You know, an 11-day journey ended up taking 40 years. A generation had to be removed in order for them to be able to inhabit a place, which is something that I always encourage people, you know, right now, the reason why I'm going through what I'm going through, which is tough, is because I don't want another generation to have to fight the giants that I'm supposed to fight. And so to understand, even now, it doesn't matter what age you are, do not let your other generation fight your giants. My dad should have fought certain giants that I now have to fight for him. My grandfather should have fought certain giants that I now have to fight for my grandfather. So it's very, very important for you guys to understand that it doesn't matter your age. What matters is that you conquer the giants so that your generations can inhabit the land. Amen? So that was a little side note. You got that for free. You know, you can pay me at the door after, right? So, Deuteronomy 17, we're reading from verse 14, and it says, are we there? Amen? Are we there? Good. When you come to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, so when you come, you guys are here, right? And possess it, and dwell in it, and say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. You shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses. One from among your brethren you shall set as a king over you. You may not set a foreigner over you who is not your brother. But he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. And that's something that God is saying. You're not going to return that way again. We're not going back to Egypt. Even though we may come up with some obstacles, we're not running back. We're pressing forward. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, my rod and my staff, and they comfort me. So understand that obstacles are going to come. But we have the rod and the staff of God. And we're able to press through things, even though they seem scary. And know that he's going to protect us. Amen. The name of the Lord is a refuge, and the righteous run to it, and they are safe. These are all kingdom principles that God teaches us as we walk along there. But anyway, I digress, I come back. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turns away, nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. And I want to stop here because this is not the meat of what I'm saying, but I want you to understand that being a king is not about you and what you have. That's not why God gives you territory and influence. It's about God. It's not about you. Full Quiver Services, what we have in Trinidad, I do not have childcare background. I started working for my dad at 12 years old because for me, I had a wicked mother that decided at 12 years old, I am not going to play with my friends during the summer. I'm going to work in my father's business because your father has a business. So at 12 years old, I started to work in my father's business. And she always says, and look how well you behave now. Look how good you are now. I don't feel sorry at all for putting you to work. But at that age, I started to work for my dad's business as a camp counselor. So I dealt with children 5 to 12 years old. At 16 years old in that business, I reformed his program because it really was bad. And we were only getting like 10 kids for every two-week interval. And in my reformation that summer, we started to average 90 children per two-week interval. So we were going through sometimes 500 kids, from 10 kids, 500 kids over a summer vacation. I went to university, came back, and I started to work alongside my dad. He had a swimming business, so I'm also a licensed, well, I'm a licensed swim teacher, and I'm also a lifeguard. I am a lifeguard, yes. And so with that, I started to run with my dad with it. Childcare was not in my vicinity. I didn't even like small kids that much. That's the truth. Because I didn't grow up with little brothers and little cousins. You know, I grew up with people my own age and older. And so when God called me at 23, my dad and I, we kind of separated. I went to work for a missionary organization, which was very good, visited Haiti and different places and really gave me a God perspective. But then when at 24, he called me to open a daycare, and he began to download this whole system in me, I realized, well, this is really not about me because I'm not this bright. I mean, a whole system that was downloaded. And the success we had with it, it wasn't about me. Because God used that which was foolish to confound the wise. And so at first when we came on the market, I mean, my first baby I changed, he peed on me. I didn't know boys peed upwards when I was changing the baby. You know, so I got pee almost in my mouth as well. So that when it is we came on, everyone laughed because who was this person who had no childcare experience? That wasn't my degree. My degree was hospitality. I wanted to be the youngest hotel manager in a Walt Disney World hotel chain. My dream was to work for Mickey Mouse. That was my dream. But God decided, I'm going to birth a daycare and a preschool through this young lady. That's what God decided. And within, what, 5-6 years, Mom, we became the number one person on the market. People are still trying to copy us. And I always tell people, well, they could copy us because we have the original. And so every year they try to copy, we are always 10 years ahead. Because we are tapped into the original. So I wanted to put that in there to understand that this status of kingship is to show God's glory, and it's not for your personal gain. It's not about you. Us being kings is about God. Amen? All right, so let me get into the meat of it. Pastor, how much more time do I have? Good. So let me conclude here. So it says, it goes on to say, also it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and this statute, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. As a king in the territory that God has put you in charge of, these are the rules and dictates that we must practice so we understand our responsibilities. But this is what you need to practice in order to have success or be sustained in this place. The first thing is you need to write and have a copy of the book of the law. How many people have their Bibles today? Raise it high. Raise it high. Own a Bible. It's an authority thing. It's not about, well, we have our phones now. You need a copy of the Bible. When you set that in your home, you let the enemy understand something. That you are a weapon of war in the hands of God. You need to own a Bible. And now I know, as I said, we have a lot of technology things and things like that. But there's an authority that we need to exercise in the realm of the Spirit. And you guys are spirit people. So you understand when you step somewhere with the word as your sword, what type of havoc you can wrought in the kingdom of hell. And so I want to encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, if your Bible is just on a phone, go and buy a Bible. As a king, you need to own one. Not only should you have a copy of the Bible, you need to read it. We need to read the word of God. This is not just the verse of the day that YouVersion puts out. You need to read it. You need to study the word of God. You need to know the constitution. When Jesus came, he said, no longer would it just be the law that is written in the books, but it will be written on your hearts. When you go out there and someone challenges you, challenges your kingdom, you're supposed to have the word in your heart. You're supposed to have something that God is able to draw upon and to be able to release through you to shift the atmosphere. The Bible says, and one of the things that I love about the word of God, it is the only thing that the Bible mentions that could separate soul and spirit. If it is you don't know what to do, if you're feeling too emotional about it, read the word. I promise you, you would know what God's heart on that matter is. It's the only thing that is able to separate it. It's a discerner of the heart. The Bible says it is living and powerful. So not only do I want you guys to own a Bible, not only does God want you to read and study that Bible, but observe all the words of the law and statutes. We must practice what we are reading. So if someone gives you a bad drive on the road, we bless them in the name of Jesus. Because the word says that we need to bless our enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's the word of God. We don't give them our Adamic nature. We give them the fruit of the Spirit that is within us. And, you know, sometimes people would say, well, yes, but, you know, that's easier said than done. Yes, it is. We have had countless, oh my God, countless incidents that have happened to us in the business because the enemy will always challenge that which is God. I've had people steal half of my children, say all kind of rumors about me. And the next time I see them in the grocery, they are hiding, literally hiding. And I will go to them and hug them, ask them, how is your business doing? And bless it. Do you know, like 3 years later, their business shut down? I didn't even have to say anything because I know it wasn't birthed from God. What I have was birthed from God. I had a guy who stole almost $40,000. We were just missing money and missing money and missing money. Until one day, we just had $100 in the drawer. And when I came, I called Mom. I said, Mom, did you take the $100? Why would I take the $100? I said, okay, thank you. And I put down the phone. She came in and she said, today we are finding this thief. I'm tired. She sat down and she watched the footage from the night before midnight straight until 6 o'clock. And we found the thief. That person, he saw me sometime. He sat to hide behind somewhere. When I saw him, I embraced him. Because God loves him. What he did was just to mature me into a better place. And it did. Because God restored that and 10 times more than that. That circumstance was just to grow me. It wasn't to break me. It was to grow me. And so understand that we are to observe the word. Someone do you something, do not live in unforgiveness. It is one of the most devious plots of the enemy. It will keep you in bondage and not allow you to reign where you're supposed to reign. So I want to encourage you guys, own a Bible. Read it. Study your Bible. Practice what the Bible says. That's very, very important. And you also need to learn to walk in the fear of the Lord. Apostle Belinda during Bible study was talking about the fear of the Lord. A lot of us fear God because we can go to hell. And the Bible tells us to do that. Don't fear those who are will bring death to the body, but fear him who would destroy you in both the body and in the soul in hell. So Jesus was very plain. Know that God could send you there. However, when they speak about fear a lot of time in the Bible, it speaks about reverence. It speaks about respect. Sometimes we live our lives and we don't respect God. We put on TV shows and it's blasphemous. And we sit down and we laugh with the Holy Spirit residing right inside of us. With the altar that you pray to being very close to the television. And we engage in things that is blasphemous before God. It's a disrespect. We have to learn daily. And I love that they said learn it. Every day we need to learn how to respect God. How to reverence him. It's not about me and how I feel, but that my lifestyle is one that brings honor to who he is. And it is something as a church we need to take back because we've allowed a lot of things to slip in. The Bible speaks about those little foxes that comes in to ruin the grapes, to ruin the vine. We as a body need to now start to walk daily. And Apostle Ron was talking earlier about it. There are times you would slip. The righteous man slips seven times. He will never fall. If you are walking in righteousness, Yes, you will have slips. There are days where I say, God, I didn't do too well today. I want to admit this. I allowed myself to say what I wanted to say because I felt it needed to be said. But God, you know what? The next day is an opportunity I have to serve you better. And every morning I wake up, this is the day the Lord has made. And I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Because it's an opportunity I get to bring honor to my King of Kings and my Lord of Lords. And so I want to encourage you guys, own a Bible. Please, get a Bible if you do not have one. Read your Bible. Not just one verse. Read it, study it, know it so that you can practice it as well as learn to walk in the fear of God. And there are some benefits that comes with this. If we known to do this, we would not have our hearts be lifted up above others. So when you rule in a place of kingship, you will not become proud. Do we realize there are some preachers, they start off so well. And then as they make it, you see pride stepping. All of a sudden, the glory comes to them. That's because they wasn't being sustained in the word. That's because they was not learning to walk daily in the fear of God. That's how pride stepped in. And so in being in this place of kingship, be in a place of the word so that you don't become prideful. So that you could be a leader that is known as being a leader of humility. Next, we will not turn aside from the commandments of God. It means that you won't sin. There are some people who walk a pretty sinless life. Yeah, they may have a slip up now and then, but because they're so used to practicing God and practicing his word, they generally walk a pretty straight path. And that is an inheritance that we have. We don't need to be struggling every day as it relates, oh my God, why is this thing still plaguing me? No, we could walk a perfected life and we could be free. Amen. And lastly, the days of yourself and your children will be prolonged in the territory that you have been assigned. This speaks of legacy. God is a generational God. The buck does not stop with me. In our country, we have Syrians, and I went to this business seminar once where one was talking about family businesses, and she said something so interesting. She said, in the Syrian community, we understand that we are borrowing resources from the next generation. So it is very important to us to pay them back. And it's such a wonderful principle. If we understand that this is not about us, but it's about our generations, then we would understand that us being in the word, practicing that word, and displaying to our children how to walk in the fear of God would also birth that in them to be able to be sustained as a king in that territory and to build upon that place. The Bible tells us, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he would never depart from it. It is a kingdom principle. You want your children to walk in the way of God, train them up on the way they should go. Not Disney, not Pixar, not video games, because some of those are raising our children more than we are, and it's easy. I understand. I used to work 12-hour days. It's easy to push her in front of a television. But I understand in her life that she has to sustain a kingdom that God has given to me, a territory he has given to me. And so I teach her the word. If you right now say, you know what, I have a headache, and my mom has experienced this, she will walk up to you and say, in the name of Jesus, headache be gone in Jesus' name. And then she looks at you and say, how are you feeling? And if you say you still have it, Father, even now, complete healing in the name of Jesus. And guess what? God shows up for her. And people are healed to the point where they're like, oh my God, Rachel, your daughter, she just prayed for me. And like, I'm healed. Yeah, you're supposed to be. That's kingdom. A bird once crashed into a window and it died. She walked outside and she was so sorry. I'm like, do you want to pray for the bird to live? And she's like, yes. And she prayed and she rebuked the spirit of death. And the bird rose up. And she was like, praise God, Jesus, he rose the bird. Everybody, the bird rose. Because I'm training her up in the way she should go. So that when she's 22 and the trials of life comes, she knows that the same God that could raise that bird will be able to raise her up in her circumstances as well. Amen? So, in conclusion, because I'm looking at the time, I want to encourage you guys this morning. If we inhabit the kingdom realm, that's the place we are sustained. If, however, you are occupying the world system, that's the place that you will be sustained. I remember once God told me in prayer, my people try to use world methodologies to get kingdom results. And it's not going to happen. The church is talking about we want to see signs, we want to see wonders, we want to see miracles. Are we practicing kingdom principles? Because that's the only way we're going to see miracles begin to sweep the church again. And the revival that God has been speaking over this land for the last decade, that's how we're going to see it. When we walk in that place of kingdom principles. Understand that it's like eating raw, natural, organic foods. It doesn't taste that good, but we know it's healthy for us. Versus eating processed foods. It's easy to access. It's cheaper to attain. Thank God for the dollar menu from McDonald's, I always say. But it does not give you the energy, the strength, and the stamina necessary to run your race. And it brings disease and death to your life. So I want to encourage you guys today. Eat the pure nutrition that is presented in God's kingdom through the reading, studying, and practicing of his word. And of course, learning to daily walk in the fear of your king. Amen? Amen. Amen. What do you want to do? Well, what I could do, because... Yes. So I don't know if you want to dismiss those who want to be dismissed, because I know you guys have a... Okay, you guys know if you need to leave, you can leave. Okay, no problem. So, Miss Sarah, is it possible I can ask you to play the keyboard for me? Is that possible? You can tell me no, if it's not possible. But I just wanted to just spend a little time, you know, just in God's presence. You know, one of the things I love, a kingdom principle that Christ taught us, where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in the midst of them. And for me, you know, I understand that God's presence is with me continually because he resides in me. But there's something about worship, you know, it's almost like, especially when it's pure, that God, he answers you and he shows up in an even greater way. And then there's a word that I would like to release over the house and over, of course, your apostles at this time, even as you guys transition. And then there are one or two of you guys that are here that I will minister to, of course. And then after, if apostle allows, I could always stay back. And if people want to come for personal prophecy, of course, with one of the apostles standing with me, I could give you personal prophecy so that I don't keep you guys here too late. Is that okay with you? That's okay? Amen. Are you singing for me too? If you could play Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You don't play by ear? Do you know the song? Do you know the song? So let's just worship a little bit, just get into that space and in that zone of just acknowledging who God is. Even as we came into this revelation or reiterated the revelation of ourselves being joint heirs with Christ, ourselves being seated in heavenly places, that we don't need to be subject to this world system and the trials and the tribulations that come. Because Jesus says offenses will come, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so because he has overcome the world, the circumstances that may be surrounding you right now, the debt that you may be in right now, the sickness that you may have even right now, God has overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. And so you have access to a higher kingdom. You have access to finances beyond anything that you could have think about or dream about. You have access to the best medication that's on the earth at this time, which is a shot of the Holy Spirit to bring you into this new place of healing and revitality. That's what you have access to. And so even in this space, as we understand that He is a way maker, that He is a miracle worker, that He's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all you can think or ask, but it's according to the power or the revelation of the power that you have working in you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I even see over the congregation right now, it was like the children of Israel, and I see like there's a pillar of fire that comes right down in the center here. So God's presence is with you. But I literally see Him moving. And He's shifting. And He's going to that next level. And one of the things that I've seen, I see Apostle Ron with his two hands up, and he's seeing God moving. And he's seeing God shifting. And he's saying, yes, God, I will follow. And I hear God even speaking to you guys today, saying, it's time to shift. It's time to move. There are things that Apostle is going to do over the next 2 years that you may not understand. But if you trust Him and understand that He's a king in this territory, and that God has given him instructions, and that God is guiding him as it relates to the place to go, if you trust Him and trust the God that operates in Him, you're going to see miracles, signs, and wonders. I see even like there's a small group of you guys that pray, and that has been your prayer for this last year. God, let us see miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracles, signs, and wonders. One of the things I see with this congregation, I see that the congregation is going to increase. The number that I got when I was praying on Saturday morning for next year was 500 people. And I saw it going to 3 services to be able to accommodate the people that were coming in. And then I saw, and Apostle Ron, I heard the Lord saying, son, because you have asked me, I will give. And there's a shifting and there's a changing of the guard that is taking place even now in the spirit. And there were those before who I gave my flock to that abused them, that did not understand their worth, that did not understand their potential. And so because, son, you have been faithful with the one, I now will give you those that have not been well kept, that have not been taken care of, that has not been protected by the under shepherd. And God says, I'm going to bring them in. And God says, son, even the last 3 years where you were preparing your people for the harvest, no one understand that you have the support right here to be able to not just handle the harvest, but to support the harvest that is coming in at this time. And even you, Apostle Belinda,